Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the 18th GNSO EPDP team meeting taking place on the 9th of October 2018 at 1300 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. Other than Leanne Sanchez, is there anyone else on the telephone only? Hearing no one further, we have listed apologies from Cavus Aristotle, GAC, Giorgio Salentis, GAC, Matt Serlin, RRSG, James Bledel of RRSG, and tentative apologies from Krista Spain, ICANN Board. They have formally assigned Raul Goslin, Chris Lewis Evans, and Lindsay Hamilton Reed, as well as Theo Geertz as their alternates for this call in any remaining days of absence. During this period, the members have read-only rights and no access to conference calls. Their alternates will have posting rights and access to conference calls until the members' return date. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the way of the Google assignment form. The link is available on the agenda pod to the right, as well as the calendar and email invites. Statements of interest must be kept up to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. Seeing or hearing no one, all documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space. There's an audio cast and view only Adobe Connect for non-members to follow the call. Please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public Wiki space shortly after the end of the call. Thank you. I now turn it back over to our chair, Kurt Pritz. Please begin.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here for the on-time start, and welcome to the Tuesday meeting. I'll just dive right into the update section of the agenda and then review the rest of the agenda. So first, we've had additional requests for travel support, so I'm told in the interest of transparency, we need to make that plain for everyone. So the people receiving travel support for the ICANN meeting are Thomas Rickert, Milton Mueller, Cavus, Amar, and Alan Woods. So I've done my job there. We expected and received your request for independent legal counsel to assist the EPDP and need to flesh that out a bit. And in order for us to, write a statement of work and make the pitch to ICANN to procure that. And I've been thinking about the fastest way to do that. There's two ways, so I propose chasing them both down. One is to create, the bullets of a statement of work in a collaborative phone call. So those of you who were interested in this topic, I'll be in the Adobe Connect room, and I think it's set up for Wednesday at a time, really inconvenient for Europe, but Wednesday afternoon U.S. time, and we can discuss what's needed and maybe, on the fly, hammer out the details of what a statement of work might be. Wednesday's, that's still a day and a half away, though, so if anyone wants to write up details along the lines of the services that are desired or the sorts of questions that need to be answered or any detail that could be provided in order to form a statement of work so we can quantify the effort and then the cost, that would be great. But absent that, I'll see some of you on a call on Wednesday, and then hopefully we can make that request as soon as we can. The lawful basis memo was released several days ago, so I just want to check with everyone to see what if there's any additional output. So if there is, I don't know if you want to raise your hand and say, yeah, pause on this, but I think the lawful basis memo is to a stage where it identifies where there's agreement and where there's multiple options and how we pursue those how we pursue those can, I think, be left to later. Before I call on Alex, you know, I just want to call attention to an email I wrote yesterday about this topic that has seemingly landed with kind of a thud, but, you know, would really help me in my thinking of how we pursue these lawful bases for the purpose of the initial report. I don't think we need to necessarily at this stage of the game in the initial or maybe even the final report pin ourselves down to single lawful bases, but I would appreciate anybody's reply on that. Alex, did you have a comment on this topic?
Yeah, just real quick. Thanks, Kurt. This is Alex. Yeah, I think I agree that I don't think we should be pinning ourselves down to a single lawful basis at this point. And then I just wanted to mention regarding Purpose B, you know, we haven't had that discussion. I think it's happening tomorrow. So, you know, pending that discussion, I think, especially with regard to Purpose B, I think we're okay. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Alex. So I'm going to leave that behind. ICANN 63, high interest, we have a high interest topic session scheduled for us. So we've been really busy doing real work that it's hard to kind of look up from it and work on this sort of thing, which is, I guess, necessary, but not necessarily value added. And so I'm going to ask, without having pinned down an agenda yet, and we're passing around draft agendas, and when we hammer that into shape, maybe in the next 24 hours or so, we'll pass it around for your review. But I think, you know, on the panel, it might be good if each group is represented by one person. So if you could talk amongst yourselves and nominate someone to be on the panel, unless you're adamant that your group doesn't want to participate, please do that. And I think without knowing the precise agenda, I just want to make the point that, you know, as a panelist, you're not representing your group or advocating a position. You're just a reporter. And we want to describe, I think we want to describe the substantive details as well and where we are and that sort of information as well as the experiences, being part of an EPDP and what advice you might have on that. So, anyway, if you would nominate someone from each group for the ICANN meeting, that'd be great. And then I'm just going to, without even putting it up, I just want to touch on the outstanding action items. And maybe this is why Matt and James are hiding from the meeting today, but registrars, and especially registries, have the bulk of the action items, and it's really important that we tackle these. So the registrars and registries are collaborating, I know, on a draft elements workbook for Purpose B. But that this really needs to be done in the next 24 hours or so. The RYSG was also going to provide additional processing steps for the lawful basis memo that I think Christina identified that some processing steps were left out, and in order to fully flesh out that legal basis memo, we need all those processing steps. So we're looking forward to that so we can complete that memo. And then registries, we're also going to complete the data elements for data escrow, which so we did that escrow for registrars, now we need it for registries. So registries, I'm looking at you and really need your help. Excuse me, I'm really hoarse this morning. I hope I'm not too annoying. So let's get into the substantive part of the meeting. I'm sorry for taking up so much time when we have important things to talk about. And so we're going to complete, we think, Workbook A or Purpose A, which is collecting and processing data for to ensure that the rights of a registrant and, obtaining and using a domain name. can be maintained. And in this, we're looking at the charter questions having to do with the transfer of data from registrar to registry. And Barry has done quite a bit of work on that, so I'm going to introduce that in a second. So we're going to talk about that, and then at the end of the meeting, we're going to just update the status of the remaining data elements workbooks and take stock of where we are. So rather than David, we're lucky that David Plum's on hand. So instead of, we have three sets of introductions, mine, David's, and then Barry into the work that he's done on this over the last several days. So I think rather than multiplying introductions, I'll turn it over to David now if it's okay with you, David.
Thanks, Kurt. This is David Plum. Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. So we are going to be looking at these transfer questions first. So let's focus on this third item on the agenda. And Barry has put together some really helpful sheets that can allow us to have this conversation. I want to say just two things before Barry walks us through the logic and shows the work that's been done and how that can help us answer these questions around transfer. The first thing I want to say is when we look at the issue of transfer and what data needs to be transferred from registrars to registries, we want to build that from the ground up based on all of your work on purposes and processing activities, right? And the reason I say that about building from the ground up is because we are sailing very close to the question and the debate around thick who is, and I'm eager to not dive straight into that debate. I think it's going to be much more productive if we start from your own work and build that from the ground up. And so Barry can really help us frame that up. The other thing I want to say before Barry walks us through is that when we look at some of these sheets that Barry sent around, they're also going to raise questions that aren't really directly related to transfer, or we don't need to resolve them to have our conversation about the transfer questions. And so it's okay to acknowledge those questions or other issues that come up when we look, for instance, at the consolidated sheet of the data elements. But let's park those off to the side so we don't get sidetracked on all those questions if they're not directly needed to move forward on the transfer questions, okay? So I can help all of us make those decisions like, you know what, that sounds really interesting. Let's park that off to the side and deal with that after we've had our conversation around transfer. Okay, with that introduction, those two ideas, Barry, why don't you walk us through the work that's been done here and how you've helped to consolidate information on sheets and how that helps us answer these questions in the charter questions on transfer of data. Barry.
Thank you, Kurt, and thank you, David. Just a quick sound check, please.
Sounds good to me.
Your audio is good.
Great, thank you. Barry Cobb for the record. Hopefully not to be repetitive to the intros from David. As mentioned, you know, we're here to talk about the charter question C today, and I think you'll notice that since we've restarted our deliberations after Los Angeles, there was basically an inventory completed of all of the charter questions and which ones that the group has touched on and which ones we hadn't really deliberated on or didn't deliberate extensively. As noted in the agenda, there are two that are highlighted in blue in the Adobe Connect room that seem to not have any attention to them thus far, which is question C4 about legal reasons of why registrars should transfer data to registries and should registries have the option for the contact data or not. Our discussion today is not exclusively on these two. I think all six of these should be kept in mind when we're deliberating through this particular topic. But it's not only just the discussion of the charter questions that's important here, because these do relate directly to our workbooks, and specifically today, Purpose A, Purpose M, and Purpose N, at least thus far, have also listed processing activities around the transfer of this data And we'll get into a little bit more of that detail in a minute. But what we're trying to do is really build a path for the group and finalizing the, not only the purpose definitions, the subsequent processing activities under each of those purposes, as well as a more detailed view of the exact data elements that make up that particular processing activity. So what I'll be talking through here hopefully won't take more than 7 or 8 minutes. I'd like to postpone any questions to the end, and then, of course, we'll open up for overall deliberations. I'm going to move on, and I think at this point it is kind of important just to walk or to be paying attention to what's being shared in the Adobe Connect room. It's not always readable. All of these attachments have been sent to the list. But again, I'm just going to scan through these quickly to help, again, build this path, and then we can dive into these a little bit more deeper. As Kurt and David had mentioned, so this lawful basis memo was sent around yesterday, and I think you had saw a prior version on sent to the list last week. The intent of this work or this lawful basis memo was really to create a tool by which the group can try to formalize and finalize the specific legal basis for each one of our processing activities as nested under a more general purpose. And this is an output that was created from the small team that convened Wednesday morning in LA to better understand the legal basis behind the purposes we had defined that thus far. So I don't plan on going through this entire document, but as noted earlier, we're more or less going to spend the majority of our conversations around purpose A. And what you'll notice that is new to this particular document are the processing activities that are listed under this particular purpose. The first one, of course, being the collection of data essentially required for the registered name holder to establish its rights and use of the domain name. And you'll recall from our workbook that was essentially the first column where we identified what data elements would be a one, which ones would be optional, and which ones weren't required. Based on that small team's discussion on the legal basis, I think it was then further flushed out, well, some of this data in regards to this purpose also needs to be transferred from the registrar to the registry. And as it's currently documented, there are essentially two lawful bases listed for this particular processing activity that further delineates between certain fields that might be a 61B or a 61F. And I'm not making any notion that this is final, but this is what has been developed thus far. And it's this delineation of processing activities that's going to require us to further do an inventory of data elements based on each processing activity. Okay, so now I'm going to switch to a newer work product, which is basically a summary of our data elements collected thus far. For sure, this will be difficult to see in the Adobe Connect room. Again, we'll go into this in detail a little bit later. But what this is essentially a collection of all the data elements that have been inventoried across all of the purposes. Each column is specific to its particular purpose. What you'll notice is that there are a few that are left blank, meaning that we still haven't conducted that inventory. And essentially the intent of this, after the inventory has been finalized, finalized within the workbooks, we'll extract out these data elements. And what we're going to be mostly focused on is what is happening over into the far right, which is essentially the collect or not. Now, this particular summary matrix, which again is based off of our current version of our workbooks and certainly not finalized, is mostly focused about what data elements need to be collected. Of course, what this call is all about is the transfer of some of these data elements between a registrar and a registry. And perhaps what this is going to lead to is that we walk away with a summary matrix of data elements that are collected for any processing activity around collection. Then we may have a second version, which would be a summary matrix of data elements that may be transferred, and then down the line, a third summary matrix that which may result in disclosure. A lot of that is still kind of to be determined until we further. But the end goal here, as I mentioned on the right, is essentially a column called collect or not. If it's highlighted in green, essentially the rule set here is if there's any one
Barry, this is David. It seems like
purpose
your audio
that
has gone out. Barry, can you repeat the last 30 seconds or so?
Can y'all hear me?
We can now. We lost you for 30 seconds.
All right. My apologies. So I'll just kind of take away here is this column to the right collective. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say, start with your color coding. That's where you dropped off. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the column over to the right is the collector not. Essentially, it takes one data element across any purpose that is marked as required for collection, and the logic behind it is that it will appear as green. If there's a data element that is strictly optional, that would be yellow. And then, of course, any data element that is not identified across any of the purposes or really subsequent processing, then that will mark as red. And essentially, we can filter this out, and this provides us a master list of data elements that would be needed across during processing activities. So, again, this is really just a starter draft of where we're at today. This will certainly evolve as we continue to mature our workbooks and expand the inventory across the various types of processing activities. Okay, so the last thing I'm going to show you is something that is familiar to you, and that is our workbooks. And specifically, we're referring mostly to Purpose A today. And I will unsync this one because this is a longer document. I just really have a few talking points on this one before I turn it back to Kurt and David. So the three workbooks that I sent yesterday are all in redline form. We're maintaining this redline until we get to a comfortable point where we can accept all changes, and then we can kind of start from a fresh version. So anytime that you're looking at these, it's better to try, if you're looking at it in Word, it's better to go to a final mode view. It's much easier to read. But there are two primary changes to the template that we're going with now. First, you'll see kind of a new section under the lawfulness of processing, which is our standard 61B, F, and A language from the GDPR. But now I've imported the lawfulness of processing test, which, as mentioned earlier, contains our two processing activities, one for collection of the data, and then, of course, a second one for the transmission of that registration data from registrar to registry. In addition, in the data elements inventory matrix running down the left-hand side, you'll also now see a corresponding column related to, which is filled out blank at this point in time, related to us completing this inventory as it relates to the transfer of the data. And as I mentioned earlier, at present, there seems to be a distinction between legal or lawful basis for the transfer of this data as it relates to this higher level purpose. And so I think it's, you know, one of the first things this group will want to discuss is, you know, is this distinction necessary and this lawful basis distinction is necessary? And if it is, do we need to conduct this inventory in a different way based on that lawful basis? You know, of course, 61B being more contract focused, whereas 61F also includes the balancing test. And it may produce results that if there is this further distinction of lawful basis between the two elements, then it will force us to re-ask the question, is this distinction still necessary as part of the overall purpose? The last thing I'll basically say is over on the right are the lawfulness of processing questions. I placed some comments over to the right. I didn't feel empowered to make any edits to the answers of these questions. Most of this is mostly still notes that are contained within the earlier breakout group for Purpose A, as well as a few edits from Caitlin when she was building out that lawful basis memo. At some point, and I believe that we're going to kind of have owners of each one of our purpose documents, but we'll need to be more thorough in answering the questions that we have outlined here. And one thing that I'll note, and it's obviously this was a process that is evolving, but question five, for example, you know, is related back to the charter questions that we're actually discussing today. And is it, you know, do data elements require transfer to meet this purpose? The intent of that question was really kind of doing what we're here to do today. But I think it's been recognized now that we need to be much more thorough in our documentation other than just saying yes or no. We need to specifically identify those data elements. So I think that's all that I have for now. I will turn that back over to Kurt and happy to help however I can. Thank you.
Actually, I think David's the appropriate guy here.
Thanks, Kurt. Thanks, Barry. This is David Plum. Okay, that was really helpful, Barry. And I feel like, you know, the reason that we've put this out here for discussion and as a pathway into the transfer conversation is because you've done all this work on these data elements worksheets about the data that you would need to collect for these various purposes or transfer or do some other data processing. And so the idea is we look across these sheets and you say, where does data need to be transferred? And is it the same data that gets collected? Is there a different legal basis for this, given that it is a different processing activity, even though it's nested under the same purpose? When we looked across, purpose A was the most obvious one where you had said, yes, transfer is needed. And so it seemed like a good place to start to talk about transfer, right, as opposed to just jumping in and talking about it more generally. So I'd love to open it up and to say, are people, is anybody not following the logic of how we're having this conversation about answering the charter questions on transfer, this logic of a bottom-up approach? And let's try to clear that up first. And then let's look at these sheets and say, you know, when I look at this, I see a different legal basis for transfer, and I see this kind of difference between the data elements that need to get transferred. And follow Thomas's suggestions around, let's do this element by element more than, say, just thick or thin. So let me open it up and say, first of all, any questions about the logic of how you go about answering this transfer question based on your own work to date? Any folks want to chime in here or have a question about that? Okay. All right. If that's the case, I think one of the key things to talk about now and get everybody's input on is, does it make sense then to go send off a bunch of you or send off some folks? We can talk about it right now and probably need to follow up with some other group. But to really think about how you would take, say, purpose A, and then make a subset or a full set of that same data, and that would be contained under a processing activity of transfer from registrar to registry. Does anybody want to chime in that, in that exercise of doing it? What does it mean when you see this sheet of purpose A and this extra column now about the fields that need to be transferred from registrar to registry? Folks want to chime in on that and how to go about this work of really building from the ground up the answers to questions on transfer. Amar says he's not sure he understands the question. So I think what we're trying to do here is answer some charter questions around transfer. And the way we're doing it is starting with these sheets, like purpose A. And as Barry said, one of the questions on these sheets is transfer required? And now what we're doing is we're building out the sheets, adding in a whole new processing activity around transfer data. And we're saying, well, what data elements would need to be transferred as part of this purpose and the processing activity of transfer? So, Amar, why don't you go ahead and you've got the floor.
Thanks, David. This is Amar, and thanks for the follow-up on my question in the chat. I think your explanation was helpful, but I still do have one further question. Are we meant to, apart from identifying the data elements that may require transfer, also meant to evaluate the responses to the questions in the far right column, such as lawfulness of processing and what is the purpose, is in violation of ICANN laws? Are we meant to also use the existing ones on this sheet and sort of determine whether they are applicable to the transfer column as well as the collective column? Or are we meant to develop an entirely new sheet with new answers to these questions? Thanks.
Yeah, Mar, I think we're in the process of figuring that out right now, and I do think it's important. I think Thomas and Farznai and everyone have been emphasizing all along, let's look at this from processing activity in addition to purpose. And so when we put the lens of processing activity and transfer from registrar to registry, we may find we have some different answers to these questions, including lawful basis. What Barry's saying, you know, maybe this is a different legal basis for that processing activity under the purpose. So I think yes is the short answer. We can go through some of those questions and see how it feels when we're using the processing activity of transfer as opposed to collection.
Should I go ahead? This is Milton.
Yeah, sorry, Milton. I was on mute. Sorry, go ahead, Milton. Yeah.
So the question I have is under the column on lawfulness of processing questions, we're told, which seems correct to me, that the small breakout team agreed that 6.1b seems to be the case, but it seems to apply here. And then it says, can we rely on this? If not, then 6.1f. So I guess my concern there is if we decide that 6.1b doesn't work as a lawfulness of processing criterion, then we just throw it into 6.1f. Is 6.1f kind of a default that we just assume is lawful, or is there some other reason that this wording is here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't. This really gets back to the legal basis memo, and I'm just going to jump to Kurt quickly to say, Kurt, do you have a response to that, and how we can tie this all together into that legal basis memo?
Yeah, and actually, Barry might be better than I, but there's some data that must be transferred to a registry. So that the domain name resolves and works, so that the rights of the registered name holder are preserved. So those are 61B reasons because they're necessary for the performance of the contract. There might be business reasons depending on the business model of the registrar for transferring additional data, and that aren't actually necessary for the resolution of the domain name or the working of the domain name, but in legitimate interests for helping the registrant out. And so that would be a different data set under 61F. And I think where we are right now is looking at those 61B reasons. You know, what is the data set necessary to be transferred to a registry in order to affect the operation of the domain name? And I see Mark's in the queue. So I hope a registry operator can kind of sort of tick these off. Barry and the rest of us had actually filled in these data elements, but then we thought it was presumptuous, so that's why they were left blank. So unless Barry has a comment, we'll get back into the queue if that answers your question, Milton.
Right. So thanks, Kurt. And Stephanie, you're up.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Parrott, for the record. I just wondered if you could clarify the definitions you're using of transfer versus disclosure. We don't actually have a data map that we're working to here. I presume that a transfer is a disclosure of personal information to another processor in the system. If so, I think we should define these terms anyway, because transfer is a coded word, as it were, in the ICANN community, and we should clarify the definitions here. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. That's really helpful. And Barry, or someone, could we just be super clear about how we're using the word and how the charter question is using the word transfer here? I open it to Barry or someone else on the leadership team.
Thank you, Dave. I'll try my best to answer this, noting that Stephanie's much more of an expert about this than I. As of this moment, we're specifically only talking about the transfer of the data, again, as it establishes the rights of the registered name holder. That transfer of the data, as Kurt mentioned, and which is, you know, specifically listed, the transmission of the minimal registration data from the registrar to the registry necessary to allocate the string to the registrant. I guess you're right in that the transfer of data is also a disclosure of that data, but it's not the purposes of what is this discussion today for transfer is not in the traditional sense of disclosure, like meaning should any of these minimal registration data fields be publicly available. It's just specifically understanding what data is necessary that the registry would need to make the domain name fully operational and properly allocated. And I think to Milton's question or what he placed into the chat, and I will also defer to persons that were on that lawful basis subgroup in LA. They made the distinction for 61F for registration data that is not necessary to technically allocate a string to a registrant. And I think that that's where a lot of the discussion should focus on today. Is it necessary that the registry receive actual contact details of the registrant in terms of, again, mapped back to this purpose that we have identified of establishing the rights of the registered name holder? Or is it sufficient to say that only the minimal registration data to allocate the string and make it operational is enough? I hope that answered it, but probably not.
Thanks, Barry. This is David. Let's I think that's a good working answer, and let's keep toying with this, but clearly what we're talking about here is transfer of data from registrar to registry, and we're not talking about further processing activity that would happen afterwards. Hadia, I think you're up.
Yes, thank you. So I was wondering if among the purposes ensuring the protection or preservation of the data, I think this should be among the purposes. And you could argue that ESCO is used for this purpose, but I think also the transfer of the data from the registrar to the registry is also for the purpose of the protection and preservation of the data. And I don't know what others think about that. And if so, of course, all the data will be needed, we will need to transfer all the data from the registrar to the registry. Thank you.
Hadia, this is David. I just want to make sure I understood what you said. Are you saying that there should be a whole new purpose that it talks about protection and of data?
I'm saying yes, that among the purposes that I see for the transfer of the data from the registrar to the registry is the preservation of the data itself, the protection of the data. And this is, of course, for the benefit of the registrar.
Okay.
Because it holds his rights.
Okay, thanks. And I just, again, sorry to insist on this, but I'm just trying to understand. Are you saying that this purpose A is about that? Or are you saying that we should write a whole new purpose, you know,
I'm not saying that we need to write a new purpose about that. I'm saying that among the lawful bases or the purposes for purpose A is the protection of the data.
Got it. Okay.
So,
great.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting to have a separate purpose. I'm saying that under A goes a reason, which is to ensure the protection or the preservation of the data.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. That's helpful. Mark, you're up. Anderson.
Thanks. This is Mark Anderson for the transcript. I raised my hand when Milton got in the queue. He was asking about lawfulness of processing questions. And I just sort of wanted to note that the wording that we use that we have here for purpose A isn't super clear, and I think this was raised by somebody, I forget who, at our face-to-face meeting, but exactly what established the rights of a registered name holder means is open to a little bit of interpretation. When I look at purpose A, I think we're getting to what Barry was talking about. This is your primary purpose of allocating a string to a registrant, and so I think that's the intent of purpose A. But I'm not sure, and I think based on Milton's questions and Barry's response, I think it's fair to say that we're not all looking, or we don't all have the same exact definition or the same exact thing in mind when we read purpose A, which is a little bit dangerous when you go into a conversation about a purpose. So I think it maybe behooves us to make sure we're all on the same page as exactly what we're talking about for this purpose A. And, like I said, hopefully I'm right in that we're talking about the allocation of a string to a registrant, and that's the purpose we're talking about here.
Thanks, Mark. And before you mute, just quickly, Kurt had a sort of specific question for you as someone who is registry. And about when you look at that second column of data elements that would need to be transferred in order to do what you're saying needs to be done, which is the fundamental allocating of the string of the registrant, what do you see when you look down that column in order to do that job as a registry?
Thanks, David. That's a fairly loaded question, actually. So I think part of why I raised my hand to talk about clarifying what the purpose is I think in order to answer that question, I think we need to be very clear on what the purpose is that we're trying to solve. Because depending on what that purpose means, I might answer that differently. Which is again why I want clarity. Are we talking about simply the purpose, the task of allocating a string to a registrant? If that's the only task, then that makes my answer easy. But reading the ICANN purpose A, it's not super clear exactly what that means to me.
Okay, so you're taking a pass for now. We'll come back to you. Folks, let's make sure we are circling around Mark's question, which is, are we all understanding purpose A to be the same thing? Are we fundamentally understanding purpose A about this allocating of this string to the registrant? With that, Theo, you've got the floor.
Thanks, David, and this is Theo for the record. And basically, Mark just summed it up here, and this is one of the important points when we are into this kind of exercise. What is the purpose here? And that is, in my mind, somewhat missing. We don't have a clear purpose. We are talking about legal bases, but we don't talk about purpose first. Purpose is key in this matter. And as soon as you figure out a purpose, the second question is, what happens down in the chain here? Because as soon as you start moving data, it is the data from the registrants, and we need to keep that clear, that it's the data of the registrant. It's not our data to toy around with. We need, for every movement of data, we need a legal basis. What happens down in the chain as soon as we start moving data around the world? Because that is basically what we're doing. And I'm not sure if that is in scope or is to everybody's understanding what the implications are. But as soon as we start moving data to, say, registries, there's liability issues. And there's issues for ICANN.org as an organization. There are compliance issues at work here. So that needs to be all taken into mind. Then we are talking about all the different jurisdictions where the data is going. I mean, we are not dealing with one country here in the world. We are dealing with hundreds of countries in the world. So getting a legal basis might be more complex in more exotic regions of the world compared to Europe. This might have implications on registration volumes. So this is extremely very complex, and I'm wondering if we have that all in scope when we starting to discuss purposes here. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. This is David. Before you go, Theo, I just want to test with you how Alan was framing up this purpose in saying fundamentally purpose A, while it is written perhaps in a way that's a little confusing, fundamentally, purpose A is about allocating a string to a registrant and the actions that are required to make that work. Is that how you see that, Theo, as well?
I see that in the sense that when it comes to the single registration, we don't need to move any data to the registry.
Okay. I wonder, just Theo, for one second, I wonder if, Terry, can you help eliminate that beeping on the line?
Yes, we're trying to locate the line. It'll be a moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Oh,
appreciate it. Sorry, Theo, can you repeat that?
Yeah, so when it comes to the allocation of the string, I don't think there is any movement of data to the registry required, but that is a too simple of an answer because we haven't delved into the purposes. And again, this is the purposes again, because there might be very good reasons to have that data. Does it answer question A? I'm not sure there. I think it's more of a complete sum of it all.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Theo. Margie, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Margie. Looking at purpose A, and I don't understand why we're taking such a narrow view that it's just allocating the string. So purpose A talks about establishing the rights of a registered name holder in the registered name and ensuring that the holder can exercise its rights in respect of the registered name. And that, to me, is broader than just allocating the string. when you think about, you know, ICANN's role in creating the whole system and what the registry's for, it's not some random registry. It's a registry in the ICANN system subject to the ICANN rules and policies. And a lot of the things that are written into the bylaws, such as protecting securing the stability of the Internet, are kind of reflected in the policies that go into setting up the registry. And so I just think we're taking a far too narrow view. And this comment we've said before, and it actually was referenced in the document, but it was only referenced in a footnote. And I'll just read the footnote. The footnote said, members of the BC and SAC, and then sort of add others, take the view that Purpose A is Purpose 61B for all processing activities, including registries checking on patterns of abuse, as protecting against abuse is considered necessary for performance of contract. And so I think that concept is something that shouldn't be relegated to a footnote. It should actually be part of the text. And it sounds, and this is very much in line with what Hadia was saying. And so it seems like not just BC and SAC, but actually ALAC supports that point of view. And I don't know where the GAC is on that. But I would strive to encourage us to include that in the body and to think about this purpose broader than just allocating the string.
Thanks, Margie. Okay, great. So we're getting into the conversation. Let's keep this conversation rolling if we can. Alan, you were just at ALAC, was just mentioned. Alan Greenberg, do you want to weigh in on this?
Sure. Look, we spent an unbelievable amount of time on the thick who is PDP. I understand those rules may be changed now, but it wasn't done flippantly, and there were good reasons, I believe, for ultimately the PDP deciding, and that was a recommendation ultimately of the GNSO and then the board deciding, that there were strong and good reasons for having information transfer to registries. Every registry that has been created since ICANN existed has been done with a thick PDP, with a thick who is, and transferring information to the registry, because it's been viewed, and there's been lots of discussion on it, that was a more reliable and resilient place to put the information when we needed it, instead of relying on the 1,000-plus registrars to provide the information on demand when it was needed for a specific case. Registrars come in all sorts of forms, some easier to deal with than others. And registries were believed to be a more reliable, redundant, a resilient source to use for that. So that discussion is being held. We can hold it again, but let's look at it from that point of view and not, look at it as a purely arbitrary transfer that was done flippantly without any logic or reason behind it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Alan. And I think, I'm eager to maintain the conversation focused around this purpose, and then we can bring in other purposes that are relevant for transfer of data. But I think it is helpful to start with this sort of more basic purpose about establishing the rights of the registered name holder. Mark, it's swung back to you. How are you interpreting this conversation you're hearing?
Thanks, David. It's Mark Anderson. And, how am I interpreting it? I guess, it just, sort of validates my point that, we're not all looking at Purpose A exactly the same way. I think you heard from Theo, who took a narrow view, that it's, simply about, the minimum needed for allocation. And we heard from Margie that it's, we should take a broader view in that, ensuring the registered rights of a name holder implies a lot more than just allocation of the domain name. So I think, I think it's critical that, we're not going to be able to answer all the other questions in this worksheet if we're not in agreement on what that purpose means. So I think, one way or the other, we need to agree on what the purpose is. Personally, I think it's useful to start with allocation. We can add to that as we go. There are, there are, you know, Margie spoke about some of the other, you know, I guess, purposes that, you know, establishing the rights of a registered name holder includes. And I think it's useful to talk about those, but it might muddy the waters if we try and look at all of them at once. I'm of the opinion that breaking them out and trying to take them in smaller chunks is a better path forward. But I think, you know, whichever path forward we take, we need to have, you know, as a group, have a common understanding of what the purpose means so that we can come to consensus on the items listed in the worksheet.
Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate that. And folks, I think it's a very interesting way of looking at this, where if we're all in agreement that, yes, it is about allocation and it may be about more things, when we talk about those more things, let's think about very specifically what they are. Are they covered under other purposes that you've already identified from the LA meeting? And then whether they're actually part of Purpose A or they're part of something else. My cue just got a little odd. Okay, Amar, I think you're up.
Thanks, David. This is Amar. I'm going to try to respond to what Alan Greenberg said just a little while ago. So, David, please don't be angry with me. Yeah, because my understanding of Thick Who Is and the benefits of Thick Who Is are a little different. And my understanding was that they were more benefits for contracted parties as well as customers of Who Is data, so folks who want to look up the Who Is info, but not necessarily, you know, the data subject, which is the registered name holder. So, we can all take time to go back to the Thick Who Is PDP final report and go through that. But I also want to make clear, and this may be more relevant to what we're doing here right now, is that the Thick Who Is PDP did reach a conclusion on the issues of privacy and data protection laws and how they're applicable. And remember, this was pre-GDPR. This was back in 2013 and part of 2014, if I recall correctly. So the PDP working group actually reached the determination that it lacked the competence at the time or the capacity to address the extent to which the Thick Who Is policy may or may not be compliant with the existing data protection laws, and recommended that, you know, during implementation, if an issue came up, that it should be identified and communicated back to the GNSO Council for further policy work. And this did actually happen. You know, when GDPR did kick in, the Thick Who Is IRT, the implementation review team, sent a letter to the GNSO Council. I think it was in December of 2016. And it raised a number of issues, and it made references to some ongoing court decisions at the time, I believe in Germany and Ireland, that determined that, you know, either, I think it was an issue of consent, actually, so it might not have been an issue of, you know, entering into a contract with the data subject. But basically, they raised concerns and said that, you know, there may be more work that needs to be done on the issue of transferring of data, especially in large and massive volumes on an ongoing basis, in order to be compliant with data protection laws. So it might be a good idea for us to maybe touch base with the Thick Who Is IRT and see where they left off. I think actually Mark was on that team, so he may be able to help us with that, Mark Anderson. I just think that there is some work that might have been done. We may be able to touch base with another group and find out how their work may be helpful to us. But I just didn't want to leave it on the record that, you know, Thick Who Is PDP thought Thick Who Is was a great thing, and we should think so too. Thanks.
Right. Thanks, Amar. Again, I encourage everyone to really build off the basis of your work so far around purposes and processing activities. And from there, we can start to build up. And if folks want to reach out to the Thick Who Is IRT folks, that's great too. But let's start from the basis of all the good work you've already done. Milton, you've got the next word.
Yes, thank you. This is Milton Mueller.
Yeah.
So I think we have confusion about two things here. One is some discussion, which I think can be cleared up pretty rapidly about what purpose A means, and the other is an attempt to conflate purposes and cram them into the framework of purpose A so that registries can get access to data for so-called stability and security kinds of activities. So let me deal with the purpose of A. I agree with those who say that it's too narrow to talk about it as simply being allocating a string. The whole point of purpose A is to establish the rights of the name holder in a registered name. So you're not just allocating a string, you're associating that string with the name or identity of a particular registrant. And that's the whole point of purpose A, is what do we need to do to give the registrant control so that they may exercise their rights? Now, so when we're talking about transferring, we have to talk about in what sense does data need to be transferred in order to allow the registered name holder to exercise their rights. And one of the rights that we have want them to exercise is the ability to transfer the domain name from one registrar to another. And I think that's what this is all about. So whatever data we want to be transferred in this case has only to, we have to do so to establish those rights and to allow the registered name holder to exercise those rights. So I'm not sure exactly what the data elements are, but I do know that that purpose has absolutely nothing to do with allowing registries to do, data mining on HUA's records to do security and stability studies. I think those are completely different purposes. So I hope I've cleared up any confusion that people might have about purpose A. It's a registrant right centric purpose, and I think that's very important to us.
Thanks, Milton. That sounded clear, and I'm hopeful that others can flesh that out about what we really mean by purpose A and establishing registrant rights. Benedict, you're up.
Hey, I absolutely agree with Milton on making this registrant centric. Would add that another registrant right is to participate in a clean ecosystem. One of the ways that is accomplished, and we need to discuss this if we don't like it, is that registries are able to correlate across registrations from multiple registrars to suspend bad domain names. We'll talk about what bad means later. That is not something that's possible at the registrar level. And by cleaning up their zone, they permit the registrant to participate in a more functional ecosystem. I don't see an alternative way to accomplish that without a transfer of data from registrar to registry, but acknowledge that this could be expressed under another purpose, in which case I'd invite those who think this doesn't belong here to suggest another purpose, if that makes sense. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Benedict. Exactly. So that's exactly the kind of analysis that would be really helpful. Benedict's putting out there this idea of a clean ecosystem. Registries have a particular role in that. Does it fit under this purpose A? Should it be somewhere else? I think those are the kinds of pieces of analysis that would be really helpful. Hadia, you want to jump in on that? Jumped off. Okay. Hadia, jump back in if you want to. I see only Alan Greenberg's hand up. And Alan, my only word of caution here. Oh, wait, Hadi, are you trying to jump in?
I just wanted to quickly agree with everything that Benedict said. And maybe I was not really clear in my first intervention, but what I really wanted to express is in establish the rights of the name holders and ensure that the registrants can exercise their rights. We need to gather the data and protect it. And among the ways or the means that we can do this, it is the transfer of the data from the registrars to the registry. And again, I totally agree with, I'm not going to duplicate what Benedict just said, but if others see that this does not fit under this purpose, then let's put it under another purpose. However, I think it could fit here as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Adia. Helpful. Alan Greenberg?
Thank you. You're going to give me some caution, but I'll understand what it is without you saying it. I strongly support what Benedict said, and I said the same in the chat earlier on, effectively, that if A is not the right place for it, if A is not the right place for it for registrant rights, then it needs to go somewhere else. However, I know there's an inclination not to want to invalidate all of the work we did in Los Angeles. We spent a huge amount of energy there, and we decided in our wisdom that all of these elements belong in element A, at least for collecting. And at that point, it's reasonable to keep them there, including for the transfer. But ultimately, we invented A in Los Angeles. We can invent an X and move them there. I'm not quite sure what the benefit is. Thank you.
Great. Excellent. Thanks. And Milton, why don't you jump in on this, and we'll see where we get to.
All right. Well, I think that where we're getting to is precisely the kind of confusion that I talked about in my first point, which is the people who want to data mine who is data are trying to load a purpose into A where it doesn't belong. This argument about a clean ecosystem is really absurd from a careful definition of purposes standpoint. I think it's a legitimate concern, the clean ecosystem, but it has nothing to do with establishing the rights of a registered name holder in a registered name. The language is very clear here. Purpose A is about establishing a title to a specific string and allowing the registered name holder to exercise its control over that specific string. If you want to say that the health of the overall internet ecosystem is somehow tied to that, you're stretching things way past the breaking point. And that kind of loading of functions or desired policies into a purpose where they don't belong is really holding us back. We've made progress by breaking down purposes, collection, and legal bases into very clear elements. And, you know, we're just not going to make any more progress if people start saying, you know, reading into purposes these gigantic, broad, desired things that they want. Somebody tell me how the mining of domain name registration data by a registry is in any way related to the rights of a registered name holder in a specific registered name. I don't think you can do it. And so, you know, we may continue to have a debate about the importance of that, but I think Alan has essentially agreed that this has nothing to do with purpose A. He just thinks it should go somewhere. And so let's park that issue of where it goes, but let's continue to finish purpose A, which has nothing to do with these other things.
Okay, great. Thanks, Milton. So what I'm hearing is, first of all, everyone agrees that purpose A is a registrant-centered purpose, and the key core of that is ensuring the registrant can exercise its rights, right? And so that string is attached to that registrant, and the registrant can exercise rights. Where there's disagreement is how then broadly to put out. There's Milton's comments right now that, you know, let's not get too far afield, and things like overall health of the ecosystem gets us too far afield. Others are not so sure. But it seems like one pathway forward for us right now is what Milton suggests, which is to park over to one side the broader pieces about health of ecosystem, recognize we'll get to that, perhaps under a whole new purpose or a different purpose. And for the moment, let's stick to the more narrowly focused issues of registrant-centered, registrant exercising its rights, and see where that takes us in our analysis. Stephanie, you've got the floor if you want to move forward.
Uh,
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I just wanted to reinforce what Milton was saying by adding that there seems to be a problem in our legal interpretation whereby if we find a broad purpose of ICANN, e.g., the resilience of the DNS, that seems to justify every single transaction that we do with personal data within the ecosystem. And that's not the case. Every single data disclosure or transfer, as we're using it in this case, has to be justified at the data element basis. First of all, does the registry, is it the primary actor in achieving some of these what Milton referred to as data surveillance activities? And if not, then why would we transfer the data? There are some very, very small subset of data elements that need to go to the data registry in order to make the name resolve. And so we have to take this transaction by transaction, which is hard to do without a data map with all the players on it, just saying. And I commend the Eco Playbook because it takes a very granular approach to these matters. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. We've got Mark S. Next.
Thanks, Mark SV, for the record. First, I wanted to all the transfers need to be.
Hi, Mark S. It's David Plum. Listen, it's very hard to hear you. I wonder if you can get closer to the microphone or somehow change your audio.
Can you hear me now?
You're quiet, but you're better.
Up my microphone. I think there's a. Is that any better?
Much better. Thanks, Mark.
First, I wanted to agree with Stephanie. Second, I wanted to address sort of a recurring theme on the chat and in some of the comments that, you know, if we can define a purpose, and in this case there seems to be a purpose defined that some set of data must be transferred to the registry for purposes of, say, transit. Okay. Once we've defined a purpose and identified the data that needs to be addressed, and then disclose the purpose in the processing to the registrants, then there's, you know, it's going to be legally defensible. I just see this thing down going on in the chat that says, well, you know, a contract doesn't necessarily have to be legal, or I don't know, just general stuff like that, which is, of course, true at some level, but I feel like it's a distraction. So whoever it was who said, look, let's just define another purpose for this and move on, I think that might be a constructive way to do this rather than just staying wrapped around an axle, which is what I feel like we're doing right now.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark. That's great. And Christina, as we switch gears over to you, I wonder if you can help us make this distinction and say, hey, if I'm just talking about a registrant-centered interpretation of Purpose A, really about assigning the registrant's rights here, I'd look at it this way. If I took a broader look, I'd look at it that way. Christina, why don't you, you've got the floor.
Great. Thank you, Christina Rosette, for the transcript. And I apologize, David, but I think I'm about to disappoint you because I have been participating up to this point by phone. And this is not an easy subject to follow when you can't actually see the worksheet. In any event, I am hopeful, though, that I might be able to kind of provide a reference that might be useful. At one point, and I think it probably hasn't been updated for many years, ICANN published a registrant's benefits and responsibilities document, and it's linked on the ICANN site. I put a link to it in chat. So to the extent that we are still struggling, and it sounds like we are, with trying to reach agreement as to the scope of Purpose A, this existing ICANN document might provide a good starting point. and I don't necessarily want to read it into the, I'll put the link again in the chat for anybody who doesn't have it, but it talks about, it basically breaks down into three categories, that the registrant's rights, your domain name registration, and any privacy proxy services must be subject to a registration agreement with an ICANN accredited registrar. You're entitled to accurate and accessible information about, and then it lists a whole number of things. You can't be subject to false advertising or deceptive practices by your registrar or proxy services. And then with responsibilities, it talks about complying with terms of the conditions posted by registrar, registry, ICANN, obligation to assume, to read the registration agreement, et cetera. I realize, again, to be clear, I'm not saying that this is one for one. I think we're kind of a little in Venn diagram land. But I think it might be a helpful starting point to at least maybe refocus us a little. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Christina. That is very helpful. And please do share again that document that can help talk more specifically about what we mean by rights, registrant rights. Okay. Benedict had his hand up, but it's not there now. I'm not quite sure if you want to jump in, Benedict. Okay. Kurt, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks, David. To gain some clarity, way up at the top of the chat, Emily Taylor listed listed a few data elements that she said were required to make the domain name operational, and actually Barry from our staff had done the same work and got to, you know, essentially the same set, but slightly more augmented, and I think in line with this document that Christina just pointed out. So maybe a good thing for us to do is ask Emily to state what those fields are for this purpose, which are few, and then I think there's a few more, and Barry could state those and see if the group generally, you know, agreed with those. So if that's okay with you, David, maybe Emily could jump in, and then Barry could follow.
Yes, this is David. Please, Emily, go ahead.
Hi. I hope I haven't started off a great big red herring on that with that thread, because I do think that purpose A is a bit wider than simply making the domain name work. I think that was what he was saying to me in the chat, and this is about enabling. Purpose A, I'm now understanding, is about enabling the registrant to be identified and to, you know, so that it can exercise its rights in respect to the registered name, which the drafting might well need to be tightened up, because it's clear that various of us are interpreting the exercising the rights in respect of the domain name quite differently. But if you're sort of going to start narrow and think about what's the absolute minimum data that is needed to go from registrar to registry in order to make the domain name work, then it's just the domain name string and the name servers. In fact, no personal data whatsoever, assuming that the domain name itself doesn't disclose personal data. So that was... You know, I think the way I've been trying to break down this exercise into reasonably digestible portions is to think about, well, what's the absolute necessity? What data needs to be transferred to make a domain name work? And then, you know, because if you're in the world of necessity for the GDPR, you're on strong legal grounds. And then, of course, as you get to further purposes, as we've been outlining in this document, then you're having to rely on different aspects of the GDPR. So that was all I was trying to do in the chat. And I think Barry pointed out that that's a bit later on in the document. So apologies if I've confused everybody with that, but I do think it's potentially a good exercise to go through. And just to pick up something that Ashley mentioned, I think others have as well in the chat, is Didn't we just live through this in the face-to-face meeting? Apologies if I'm reopening things that have been closed down and agreed during the face-to-face meeting, which I wasn't attending. So I hope that's clarified my point, but of course I'm very happy to make further clarifications if needed.
Thanks, Emily. This is David. Emily, before you mute yourself, I just want to quickly test with you. If you were to go out one more level than just making the domain name work and to do some of the things that Milton had said about exercising rights, how would that change your answer about the data elements that would be needed to do some things around exercising registrant rights along the lines of what Milton's explanation was?
So what rights? Do you mean the right to be identified as the registrant? Well, clearly, if you need to be able to find the registrant and bill them and sort of some way attach that registration to a person, then clearly you'll need to be able to identify them. But that I think that part of the reason why we're finding it so difficult to make progress is because we don't ask ourselves who is doing the identifying and for what purposes. So it might well be necessary for the registrar to have the contact details of the registrant, but it doesn't follow that it's that everybody else in the supply chain, ICANN, registries, the public at large, also need to have the same information. I think part of the reason why this becomes such a strangely confusing subject is that you're dealing with such small number of data fields, but they are used by multiple actors for multiple purposes. And just because you can get home with one actor for one purpose doesn't mean you can do the same thing. Great, we've got that, and we can do it for everybody with everything. So I think that this is part of the feeling and a sense of frustration that I'm picking up amongst the participants in this call is that we're all slightly talking at cross purposes. So I don't know if that helps at all, David.
I think it does, and before I jump to Mark, I'm going to ask Barry to jump in for a second to help clarify a little bit. Barry, go ahead, please.
Thank you, David, and I'm glad that Mark is in the queue as well as other registries. So I think it was asked earlier by Kurt, what was my impression when I had first filled out this second column about data transfer. As Emily had mentioned in the chat, when you get to narrowly looking at what is truly needed for the domain to resolve, because I think it's clear that the registry needs some information to populate that domain into the zone so that it can resolve and function. And as noted, there are other sub-purposes, for lack of a better word, under establishing the rights of the registered name holder. But I would question, what about the expiration date? What about the domain status and a couple of other fields that are necessary for the registrant to exercise its rights as it relates to the functioning of that domain name? I mean, is it important for the registry to understand if the domain gets locked at the registrar level and the other? And I can't answer those questions. I think this is really a registry's type question. What's the minimal data they need as at least it relates to the transmission of the data from the registrar to them? And I'll just lastly say, so, and this is the reason why we deleted what I had put in, is because what I had listed originally just as a starter draft to invoke a conversation was perhaps it was somewhat in line with what we know as a thin who is today. Does, is that data really necessary for the registry to have? Because ultimately, and I hate to mention this, but ultimately it gets disclosed at the registry as that thin model. But like I said, we removed that out because it wasn't, A, it was too presumptuous of us, But secondarily, you know, we weren't the experts to really know what is that minimal data set that they need to make sure this domain resolves and can be operational. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Mark, help us out here. And certainly in my mind, it would be really helpful to walk us out through these different layers of understanding of what we're trying to achieve in Purpose A and the implications for data. Mark, you have the floor.
Thanks, David. Mark Anderson. And I want to build on what you know, what Barry and Christina said. You know, they made some good points, and so just trying to build on that a little bit. You know, I hope by now everybody's heard me talk about activation and allocation a lot. These are the two most fundamental activities when we're talking about a domain name registration. You know, allocating it to a registrant. But then activating it in the DNS is interesting because it's an optional activity. And so what you need in order to activate a string in the DNS are the name servers. That's fundamental to the service that's being delivered, but it's also optional for the registrant to provide it. And so with allocation, it's an optional activity, but required to support. I'm borrowing language from NextGen RDS a little bit when we talked about name servers. It's an optional data element, but required to be supported. And so I think that's something to keep in mind as we're going through this. And then building on what Emily said and Barry as well, as far as, you know, what is necessary when you start looking beyond the string itself. Obviously, you can't have the registration without the domain name string. There's a couple interesting fields, and Barry brought up the dates, the updated, created, and expiration date. And here, you know, our task gets a little more complicated because, you know, frankly, you know, it's not complicated enough already. But these dates, you know, the updated, created, and expiry date are not generated at the registrar by the registrant per se. Rather, they are artifacts of the registration itself that are created by the registry, by the fact of registering the string. Or updating it in the case of the updated date, and so it's not a straightforward task of saying, okay, this is data collected from the domain name subject, the registrant, by the registrar and transferred to the registry. It's not that straightforward. The updated date, created date, and expiry date, you know, are artifacts created at the registry level about the data subject's registration. I don't know if that provided help in moving us. You know, hopefully that helped in moving us forward. I think, you know, Barry and Christina started us off on a good path towards looking through these various elements and seeing how they are used and what is needed in order to deliver the service.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. That's helpful. And before you jump off, Mark, I just want to press back to say, was it clear to you when someone like Milton says this is more than just allocating, this is about giving registrants control and to exercise their rights? And when you hear that, first of all, does that make sense? And second of all, can you imagine a different set of data that are required to do that kind of, fulfill that kind of purpose from a registry standpoint?
You asked if I can imagine that. I think, absolutely, you know, but I think we need to be, you know, super clear on what we mean and why, and defining why it's necessary, that the data be transferred to the registry in order for the registrant to exercise those rights. Exercising their rights is kind of, that to me is a little little bit nebulous, right? And so I think in order to, you know, in order to take that to the next step, we really need to define that further. It's like what exactly is the activity there? What data is necessary for the registrant to exercise those rights? And why is it necessary for that data to be at the registry level in order for them to do so? And so, those things I don't think we've done yet. Is it possible? Yes, but I don't think we've done it so far.
Thanks, Mark. Emily, and then Christina.
Hi. Thanks a lot, Mark and Barry, for raising the points about expiry dates, created dates, last updated dates. Yes, I suppose I had just not really been thinking about them because I don't directly think of them as null data, and I suppose I'm very much in a GDPR type of trap and thinking about personally identifying information, but quite clearly those are data elements that relate to the domain name registration and are really necessary for both for the registrant to maintain and remember to renew if they want to, and for everybody in the supply chain to know when to take action and to ask for money. There was one suggestion I think made by Alex in the chat about trying to clarify the language around registrants' rights in Purpose A, and I think that's a very helpful avenue for us to explore, because I think part of the sort of problem, if you like, with the current formulation is that the idea about registrants' rights sort of invokes domain name disputes or ownership type of rights, whereas I think what we might be talking about is just something a lot narrower about using a domain name and being identified as the registrant. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Christina?
Christina Rosette. So getting back to, I think one scenario, and I agree that there is definitely a difference between necessary for activation and necessary for allocation. And I think some of the activities and registry business model and registry requirements that are captured in Purpose N are illustrative of some of the data elements that I think are also potentially relevant to just that entire concept, that are relevant to Purpose A and that would then need to be transferred from the registrar to the registry. Whether it is, a registered name holder that has registered its domain name during the sunrise period for trademark owners, in which case it has to provide the signmark data file, and verification of that needs to be provided, whether it's a providing compliance with the community registration policy or the like. I think those are definitely some circumstances where establishing the, let's just say, benefits of a registered name holder and a registered name would implicate data elements that would be transferred. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because I anticipate we'll be coming back to Purpose N, but I thought that might be useful to kind of connect the links here.
Right. Thanks, Christina. That absolutely. I think that's the kind of mental exercise that's really helpful to say, oh, by the way, in Purpose M, we've got these other things that are super relevant that's a different purpose and require some transfer. Okay. So I'm not seeing hands in the queue, and I'm seeing lots of activity on the chat. And I just want to test something with you all. I think there's a pending piece of work here around clarifying what we really mean by rights and whether we want to use some of these suggestions in the chat that's coming up to talk about responsibilities, benefits. But I feel like in LA, we were a little loosey-goosey with how we use that phrase registrant rights. And so I think I need some volunteers in the next couple days to work together and maybe in some small group or something to be very specific about the types of things we're referring to. And in that group, I'd love to have people who have expressed some real opinions about this. I'm thinking Milton, for instance, it seemed to be super clear in your mind. I know others have expressed some ideas of what it really means to have rights here. So that is my suggestion for moving forward, because I fear we're going to be spinning, and Christina, great, that would be wonderful. We're going to be spinning our wheels if we don't provide some more clarity about what it is, what's the actual purpose, and what do we mean by rights. Okay, that being said, we've actually made some progress on this call in showing that once we can talk about what we actually mean, for instance, resolving the domain name, then we can be clear about what the data elements are. So I feel like let's take this into discussion with a smaller group, really name what we mean by rights, and then start to say, well, what does that mean in terms of data that needs to be held by registries in addition to whatever is held by registrars? Okay. Great. I think that's where we're going to leave it today, folks. Benedict, your hand's up. Benedict, why don't you go ahead and you get the last word on this?
Yeah, it's a good last word. I just wanted to make sure that when we're thinking about this language, we put in the rights. We think about the rights as the internet users that use of domain names affect. So that's the rights of internet citizens to be free from harm, as well as have their privacy protected. Both of those I see as two sides of the same coin. Thank you.
Okay. Great. And obviously, Benedict, you're more than welcome to join in on that small group conversation to ensure that everybody's understanding that clearly, as you've just said it. Okay. Great, folks. So what I'd love to do is round this up now, and I hope that folks on the, like Marika or Caitlin or somebody has been tracking the chat of people who have been putting their hands up in the chat to say, I'd like to be form part of this group. We're going to follow up with you and schedule a quick time to try to nail this issue down so that we can walk into Barcelona with much greater clarity about what we mean by Purpose A and the implications for transfer. And I think part of that could be weaving in the other purposes like N or others where clearly transfer is part of the story. Okay, great. Thanks, Marika. So this brings us, I think, to the end of that conversation. And while it may be frustrating that we didn't really conclude, I think we teased it out in a way that's really going to help us move forward. The final conversation of today, if I just pull it up, is about looking at the status of on our data elements workbooks and our different purposes. What are the open items that need to be addressed? This is now one of them. And what are the other ones? And I believe Marika had sent around, check your email, everyone, from I believe there's a worksheet from Marika. If not, it can get sent around now or put up on the screen that really lays out what's open. Marika says, no, it's not on email yet. Sorry. Maybe it can get sent around or put on the screen. Marika, do you want to say a word about that document just quickly before we jump in?
Yes, thank you, David. So yes, what you see on the screen is a list that staff pulled together in relation to the different data element workbooks, and we'll circulate that together with the notes so you can also look at it. From a staff perspective, and I think as you've seen as part of this conversation, you're completing the data element workbooks and making sure that all the issues are addressed, or at least any remaining open issues are identified, is really key before we all start traveling to Barcelona. As I think, as you may have seen from the draft chapter for the initial report, many of the responses to the different charter questions are dependent on that work being completed. So what we've tried to do here, and you'll see a lot of names and question marks, so these are just suggestions, and we're hoping that people are willing to raise their hands for these, is that for each of the data element workbooks, we're able to assign a lead, so that the lead is responsible for addressing or looking at some of the open questions that we flagged here. Some of these have come through previous conversations. And again, have another look at the workbook to see, are there any further updates that need to be made based on the additional conversations that we've had since Los Angeles, or are there any further questions that need to be called out as a result? So again, you know, for purpose A, I think we've discussed today some of the open items, and you know, we have at least two volunteers that raised their hands for this. So hopefully there's some more people willing to take that on. And I see some others stepping forward there. Then there's purpose B, and you know, I think Kurt already mentioned that at the start of the meeting that, you know, we're still waiting for the registries and registrar teams to you know, provide their homework on that. It would be really helpful if, you know, one of the representatives can confirm in the chat or by raising their hand that we are going to see that later today, as it's an essential element for our conversation on Thursday's meeting. Purpose C, as you may recall, I think there was a conversation on the, you know, the optional data elements in relation to admin and tech, and you know, Alan provided a rationale on the chat, on the mailing list in that regard. So, you know, the question is, you know, no one, I think, responded to that, so I don't know if that means people are agreeing. But again, you know, Alan, if you would be willing to hold the pen on Purpose C and have a look at that document to see, you know, what if anything needs to be updated or changed or flagged for further conversation, that will be really helpful. For purpose E, and I know it's easy to assign people that are not on the call, but on the registrar escrow, again, probably would be really helpful if that could be a registrar rep. I had noted down Matt Serlin, as I believe he was a member of that small group that worked on it. But if any of the other registrars are you know, willing to raise their hands for this one, that's, of course, perfectly fine as well, or anyone else that was part of that conversation. Noting as well that for purpose E, that's another outstanding action item coming out of the LA meeting to work on the registry escrow data elements workbook. And I believe Mark Emerson had the action item on that. So hopefully that's another one that will be able to be circulated shortly. I know for some of these, there may be dependencies on other work that's being done. But I think, you know, as long as we get something on paper and, you know, even if that flags where, you know, there are question marks or where, you know, there's linkage with other conversations that we're having, I think that is already an excellent starting point. So at least we have something to all look at. Then there's purpose F, contractual compliance. I think you may have seen the additional responses that compliance provided to the list based on the conversations we had last week. There's actually also a letter that went from the registrar stakeholder group to ICANN in relation to some questions they have with regards to the current enforcement and interpretation of the temporary specification, and a question that was flagged here, you know, how is that relevant to what we're doing, and should that, you know, be discussed in the context of this workbook? And then, of course, again, there's a need to look at the latest version and see how that needs to be updated. Again, you know, I know James is not on the call, but we had listed him here as a potential candidate for this. Of course, if there are any other volunteers, you know, please feel free to raise your hand. Purpose M, similarly, there were some outstanding questions coming out of LA. You know, first of all, should the registry DRPs be eliminated based on the ICANN input that was provided in response to that question? And as well, there were some questions in relation to, you know, does an additional processing activity need to be included? And I put the link in here that question actually came up in the context of the lawful basis conversation. And I noted Christina here as a potential lead for this, as she also led the conversation on this topic in LA. And similarly for N, you know, sorry, Christine, I know your name is on a lot of these, so please feel free as well to say if this is not something you're able to take on, so we can find someone else. And then there's the additional research purpose that Benedict and Farzaneh are working on, and Benedict sent me a note that is in the works, and I believe the hope is that would get circulated tomorrow to the group. So again, the objective is to have all these data element workbooks in a kind of, no, I don't want to say final, but a near final state by Monday, as that would allow for everyone to look at these before getting on the planes. It would also allow for the leadership team and staff and CBI to kind of look at, you know, what are some of the outstanding items that need to be on the agenda for the Barcelona meeting. As again, getting to to conclusion on these is a critical element in being able to finalize the initial report. And again, it's no problem if there are open issues or items or areas where there may be disagreement, as long as we're able to identify those and flag those and hopefully then work through these during the Barcelona meeting, or at least be able to mark in the initial report where the different positions are. So again, you know, the broader community has an ability to opine on those. So with that, David, I don't know if you want me to hand it back to you or if you want me to manage the queue. Let me know. I see that.
Marika, why don't you go ahead and manage the queue since it's your doc. Thanks.
Okay, great. Alan, so please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm willing to take a try at C, but I don't know. Are we having a meeting next Tuesday? If so, I won't be there, so I may not be the optimal person.
Thanks, Alan. This is Marika. Yes, I do believe we have an agenda scheduled for Tuesday, a meeting scheduled for Tuesday, but I don't think we have the topic for that meeting confirmed yet. I think we had it as a kind of placeholder, so any of the sub-teams or any of the data element workbooks that would require further discussion could be brought then back then. But you know, obviously, if you're taking the lead on C, we wouldn't schedule that as a topic for that meeting.
Okay. I'm willing to, if that's okay with the rest of the group.
Thanks, Alan. Mark?
Hey, Marika. Mark Anderson. Happy to have my name on Purpose-E. Maybe happy is not the right word, but willing to. Maybe is the word I was looking for. And I have started working on it. And I just wanted to sort of highlight for everybody. So the registry escrow encompasses well over 100 fields. So that's not a trivial lift. But I think forgetting about the volume of fields involved, there's a lot that maybe is dependent on both Purpose-E registrar escrow. For example, I don't think for Purpose-E registrar escrow we ever settled on the legitimate basis reason. I think that was one that was largely debated, and so I don't know that I want to even try and propose a legitimate basis for registry escrow until that's nailed down for a registrar escrow. And then also for a registry escrow, that's a little bit dependent on the question of what data gets transferred to the registry. And so while there are, I have started working on this and there's some things I can do now, there are maybe some initial questions that really need to be answered before that one can be completely closed. So just wanted to tee that up.
Thanks very much, Mark. This is Marika again, and as I said before, anything you can provide, even if it's kind of flagging where you need further information and maybe even identifying, who may be able to help with that or where the group can look for that information, I think will be a helpful starting point. And I see some conversations going in the chat, so just clarify, we're not looking at, setting up new groups or small teams, similar to the separate small teams that we're having. This is really to look for someone that's willing to kind of take the lead, take that, the latest version of the data elements workbook and kind of look at it and say, okay, here are some things that we probably should flag for further conversation because, we've kind of moved on from what the group originally did NLA, and I'm not sure if it's still relevant. So, highlighted, mark it. There are some additional input that has been provided that may need to be reflected. For example, the feedback that compliance provided. So, again, we're just looking for someone to be, to take the lead and be able to, on next Monday, to kind of say, okay, here is, the latest version of this data element workbook. And, here are some of the changes I've, made or I'm recommending based on these conversations. Here are some of the changes or items that I think require further conversation. And either we can start those on the list or save those for Barcelona. But again, that we are sure or clear that all these data element workbooks have been looked over and we're clear on what is still missing and needing to be discussed. So So I hope that is clear. Again, maybe some of these leads will reach out to the list and ask specific questions that may help inform their work. They may reach out to specific people on the group that may have certain expertise. But again, the whole idea is that before we all start traveling to Barcelona, we are clear on what is still missing from the data element workbooks and what are still areas that may require further conversation. And so I'll after this call, I'll go back to the list or the mailing list and see, because I see several people speaking up. And of course, as I said, a number of people that we kind of voluntold are not on the call, so we'll be reaching out to them as well to see if they're willing to take it on if no one else has stepped up for those. And as I said, we'll share this list and update it as needed together with the notes.
Thanks, Marika. This is David, and I'll make one small addition to that, which is we did on this call talk about the need for a new small group or a bunch of folks to come together and define better the what we mean by registrant rights and purpose A, because that will allow us to work better on our transfer questions. So that is something new that's being generated on this call. In addition to what Marika said about this list. Okay, great. So we are in the great position of being finishing up a little bit ahead of schedule. We just need to do wrap up and confirm action items. I know that Kurt and Caitlin, you guys do a great job of finishing up the meeting with action items. And confirming any questions for ICANN.org. So could one of you lead us to the finish line here, either Caitlin or Kurt, please?
David, this is Marika.
Well, I think Marika has
today.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So this is Marika, and I think you just noted the action item that I had listed as well, and that will add to the document. Volunteers needed to specify what types of rights are included in Purpose A, and what does that mean for data that needs to be transferred to registries, and we noted two volunteers, and I think some more in the chat, so I'll dig those out. That was an action item for staff to update the document that you just saw on the screen and reach out to those that are not on the call to see if they're willing to take the lead on some of these items. I did not note any specific questions for ICANN.org as a result of this meeting, although I know there's some conversation going on the mailing list, and I think some additional questions have been asked there, so it may be worth for the group to confirm whether those should get submitted or not. And then if I can maybe call again on some of the registry and registrar reps for purpose B. That is an item that is lined up for further discussion on Thursday's meeting. There was an open action item coming out of the LA meeting for registries and registrars to take a first step at filling out the data elements workbook from the perspective of a registry and a registrar. And as at that stage, there was no agreement whether it should also be an ICANN purpose to, again, have a kind of starting point and see where that conversation would lead. So if I can maybe call on any of the registrar or registry reps to at least give us an update on where that stands, as it is a crucial aspect for Thursday's meeting. So it would be really helpful if they can provide an update, whether that is going to be shared later today, as obviously, people will need some time to review that and also for the leadership team to prepare Thursday's conversation, so to make sure it's a productive conversation. So no one raising their hands, and I may need to pick on people. I see Alan is first registry rep in the queue. Alan, could you give us any insight on where that stands? Or Christina?
Christina, we have been working on it. It was discussed during the registry stakeholder group meeting last week. There was a separate sub-call, I want to say it was Friday, to discuss it, and we have been chasing folks for input. So at least on the registry side, it's something that is a fair amount of time is being dedicated to it.
Thanks, Christina. Do you also have an indication as to when this will get shared with the full group?
We've already extended the deadline once for input, so, you know, certainly well before Thursday's meeting. I can't speak to whether it's today or tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And if I can ask any of the registrar reps to also give an update, or is it going to be a joint submission? Christina, could you talk to that? Is it a joint submission or otherwise Lindsay or Theo? Emily, do you have any insights?
It's Christina. It's intended to be a joint submission, but in the interest of trying to reach, I hate to use the word consensus, but agreement, the way we've been approaching it is to have the registries go first, although I think at this point we'll send the Google link doc, the link to the Google Doc over.
Okay, great. Thank you. And sorry for putting you on the spot. And I think that's all I had when it comes to action items and questions.
Great. Thanks very much, Marika. Unless anybody, David, did you have anything in closing?
Nope, we're good on my end.
All right. Thanks very much, everybody, for being on the call. We'll see some of you on a small group call tomorrow and everybody on Thursday. So thanks very much. Have a great day.